You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Tuesday, December 13th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always with the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, Tony Sicana as well. We go the next 3 hours for you, up until 10 a.m. Best friends forever. Come your way then. It is a Tuesday. Hopefully you have moved on to the semifinals. Some of us at this table have not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Would that be you, Greg?
Yes.
Sorry to hear that. What was your downfall?
Oh, my downfall. Now it's much louder.
Yeah.
My downfall was myself, obviously.
You made a lineup decision that was wrong, and maybe we could help you.
So you can't help me now. It's over.
No, but I'm saying.
No,
I want to see the rationale behind this lineup decision that cost you a trip.
So there's one lineup decision that really cost me. Right. Like Devontae Freeman cost me. There's nothing I could do about that.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Eli Manning cost me. There's nothing I could do about that.
Yeah,
like, I was going. That was fine. Dante Moncrief cost me. There's nothing I could do about that.
No.
There's one thing I could have done.
It was a low-scoring week this week, but what could you have done differently?
Yeah. Oh, we talked about this yesterday on the program, but...
Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. So, you know, you always play your studs, right?
You start your studs.
Put them in there. So one of my studs is the Seattle Seahawks defense.
Oh, God. Nothing you could do about that.
Yeah, we talked about it
yesterday. Yeah, I told him yesterday. I said, why'd you do that? You know, they were going against Aaron Rodgers without Earl Thomas.
So, just because the general wasn't in there, you know, I thought they're Seahawks. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get, how bad can they be? They're not going to blow them out, right? Even if they give me a couple points, whatever. It's still Seattle.
Still Seattle. You should have had some action right there.
They have me -3.
Seattle's,
I lost by 5.
I recommend it to a lot of people not to use them.
You ranked them as a top 10 defense this week.
I had them 10th.
Is that top 10?
That's top 10.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say there was a lot of defenses out there. They weren't a top play to me this week.
They were a top 10 defense for you. It wasn't like they were bottom 5.
I had the Falcons ranked.
Again, I told you yesterday, the Falcons are picked up. What do you want me to do?
I didn't like the Falcons going into the weekends. It did
was
play
Tampa
out.
Was Tampa Bay picked up?
I don't know. Aren't we kind of like
it just
back
passed
now?
That now? Yeah, yeah. We're past that.
So
now.
I lost by 5 points. I started my man LeGarrette Blount, who performed better than Matt Asiata.
Barely.
Really?
Barely.
As how many yards did Matt Asiata have?
Matt Asiata had 13 fantasy points.
Yeah, but he also got 56 tries and a touchdown.
Well, wait a minute, though.
That wasn't the point.
The point is the result. And Matt Asiata, actually, I'm going to look it up right now. The last I checked, Blount had 12.5.
No, he had more. He went up with 72 yards rushing.
Did Asiata have a fumble?
Yeah, Asiata fumbled, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Blount wound up, I believe, with 72 rushing yards, 7 receiving yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that's a good night. That's a very good night for LeGarrette Blount. Yeah. You're thrilled with that against Baltimore. So I had him in my lineup. I felt good. And Tony, you know, you actually said I would just come up a little bit short last night, and you were correct. I lost by 5. I said I needed 2 touchdowns. I was probably right. I was very upset when Brady rushed to the line instead of bringing LeGarrette Blount in for another touchdown. I thought that would have sealed it for me. It did not happen. And Steve Smith did not catch a touchdown. And then I lost by 5. But you know what's interesting?
Yeah, and that's it.
That's it.
That's it. It's over.
It's over.
2017 is where it's at now.
We move on.
You have any other leagues that you're alive in?
I do not.
Let's give Greg Sussman a round of applause.
My season's over, everybody.
Yeah. Season.
Thank you, guys.
DFS NBA. Going to catch up.
No, we're taking some time off on that, too. things haven't gone our way.
You're pulling it in, huh? You're doing the selfie.
It's gotten so bad, Tony, that I'm sitting here yesterday, and I'm telling Benny Ricciardi, the host of DFS Today with you, or sorry, with Lineup Log with you, Tone. He's like, let me just give you some cash. Let me just throw you. Let me just PayPal you some money. I don't like seeing you like this. I'm like, Benny, I can't accept your money.
He outscored him by 1 point.
Still outscored him.
Yeah.
I can't accept your money. And he goes, please just take this handout.
I would take Benny's money.
I didn't take Benny's money.
He wouldn't have to ask me twice.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to pull my arm.
Sure. Cash or check.
I got 2 kids. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, so I did not accept that money. But you know what's interesting? I watched this game last night. Mm. I watched it, to be honest with you. I watched it pretty much on and off. I watched some stuff beforehand.
Yeah.
I watched I was watching on and off, basically.
You watched Westworld last night?
Westworld's over, Scotty.
I have no idea.
Westworld's over. I was watching other stuff.
What were you watching?
I watched Monday Night Raw. I was watching The Wizard of Oz on at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You like classics. I don't think people know this about you.
I don't like classics.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. Wizard of Oz.
No, it's just
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, that's a fantastic movie.
See, those are classics.
Those are two movies. I'm not like a classic movie buff.
I'm saying, though, there's certain classics that I found out about you in the last week, that you like Willy Wonka, you like The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
You know, there's certain things that are timeless.
Yeah, there are. I was watching the game, and then it was like 20-0. I was like, oh, I'm going to turn on some other things. And then halftime came, and I watched like the first drive after halftime. I mean, I was watching a lot of the game, turned on Raw at one point, went back to the game. I'm following everything on my phone because, you know, Corey, you appreciate the whole karma thing here, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm
a big karma
you know what?
Guy.
Things are working better when I'm not watching.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, the
yeah.
whole thing.
I get that.
I mean, literally, all of a sudden, I refresh my phone, and it's all right. All of a sudden, it's 23-9, and all of a sudden, it's 16. I'm like, oh my goodness, like maybe Steve Smith has one of these touchdowns, and I'm feeling good. But as I'm watching the game, Scotty, mm-hmm. you know what I found myself rooting for?
Oh.
You.
Me?
Yeah. You. I was shocked too. I know. Because we had talked yesterday about how you needed Malcolm Mitchell versus Tom Brady. And I see Malcolm Mitchell got this touchdown, right? And I'm watching. I saw myself give a fist pump for you. And I was
Thank
like, oh
you.
My goodness. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting here. I have no buying this for you. You're just my co-host, my friend. And Malcolm Mitchell scored a touchdown. I'm like, yeah, I was excited for you.
I appreciate that. Too bad the game didn't end at that point.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what, though? It's like one league. It's in Scott's Fishbowl. Mm. I moved on to both the conference finals and the Super Bowl of my personal league.
Nice job, Scotty.
Yeah.
Give it up for Scotty and Scott's Fishbowl.
Yeah.
Nice job, Scotty.
I had the seventh highest score overall of the week.
Nice job.
Yeah, out of 480.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tony, you got anything for us to clap for? How was your DFS weekend? Any season-long news to report?
I believe I'm in two finals, but you know how SiriusXM works. Like, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah. And, oh, I know.
It's confusing on this playoff structure. I don't know if it's a two-week playoff, it's a one-week playoff. Like, I have no idea what's going on there. And then the Granite Street Tavern League, I get a big pressure on me this week. I'm a 16-point favorite in that game.
Oh, so you're on to the semis in the Granite Street Tavern League.
What was that again?
You're on to the semis in the Granite Street in the GST
yeah.
League. All right,
yeah.
there you go. Give
yeah.
it up to Tony.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 14-team league right there.
That's pretty
yeah.
good.
Very tough 14-team league. Tony Cicada's on to the semifinals. So there you go right there. Got some joy to spread.
Well, Corey, what about you?
Oh, well, you obviously know one of my bigger leagues. I already took it down at the week 13, kind of put it out there. And then another league, online championship playoff, I came in there as a 3 seed. I'm going into week 15 as the 1 seed, overtook the top team.
Yeah.
Let's give it a you deserve it.
And then also I advanced in the flex auction.
Right.
I advanced to the semifinals, take on our guy Jake Seeley.
Your best friend.
Yeah, take on my BFF
friend, yeah.
Jake Seeley this week. So there you go right
I am,
there.
I am checking the FNTSY lines. You are the early favorite.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, well, there you go right there. Big night for me from Chris Hogan.
That's because Rogue One is yeah. coming out this week, the Star Wars movie, and Jake might be distracted.
I got that done. Also, big night from Chris Hogan gave me the victory over Michael Bella from Sports Illustrated. So there you go right there. So it's me
Good
versus...
Good season for you.
So it's me... Yeah, solid season. So it's me versus Jake... And one semifinal in the flex auction, and then the other one is Jason Braddock versus Raymond Summerlin, some clown from Roto World, I think.
Yeah, he's a very creative writer on Roto World.
So I'm facing somebody from Roto World in my Scott Fishbowl
really?
Super Bowl. Yeah,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So we got a chance to take down.
I remember
Roto World
Ray. I remember Ray I like when Ray. Ray was a caller. Like
oh,
he would
really?
Just call up podcast. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He's a guy that's done well.
No, he has. He's come
I like
up.
Ray.
I had chilled with him at the Flex. He's a cool cat. I ain't mean to call him a clown. I'm just being facetious. But nah, Ray's a cool cat. You know what I'm saying? So you got semifinals in the Flex auction is Jason Braddock versus Raymond Summerlin, me versus Jake Seeley. So you know, going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, me coming in 6-7 as the 6 seed got in, snuck in based on the points, and then was able to take down Michael Bella this week from Sports Illustrated. So there you go right there, you know what I mean? So pretty solid season. Happy about that. Looking at the Week 15 schedule already, normally during the regular fantasy season, we wouldn't get this too deep into the next week, you know, on a Tuesday, but I think that when you get to the playoffs, I think it's kind of fair to look ahead. What do you guys think?
It is week 15. You're not looking ahead. It's week 15.
It's too easy for me. That's what I'm scared of. Yeah, I'm scared of. I got in that Grand Street Tavern. I got a lot of the Redskins. I have Cousins. I have Jordan Reed and DeSean. They're going against the worst secondary in Carolina.
And they're home, too.
And you got to wait till Monday night. Like, it's the greatest thing for me. Where it's too easy and I'm a little scared.
You know how that goes. Honestly, you know, speaking of being too easy, one of my main teams, I have Matt Ryan and Devonta Freeman in it, and they have a plus matchup this week at home where they're comfortable at versus the San Francisco 49ers. So, like you said, Tony, it looks like it's too easy.
There's a couple games. It's amazing.
Some good matchups out there this week for fantasy. It should be a high-scoring week.
The quarterback position's crazy. The top five best matchup for quarterbacks are all quarterbacks no one will use in the playoffs. The five worst teams with defending quarterback are all quarterbacks that won't use.
The
five guys that have the toughest matchups are like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, all have tough matches.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the quarterback rank can shake out as we get closer to the end of the week coming in on Thursday. When we start the week with the Los Angeles Rams and their new the interim head coach, they travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks team that they're very comfortable playing. Speaking of the Seattle Seahawks, Scott, I wasn't here yesterday. Mm-hmm. That team has not looked good at all right now.
Yeah, that was the most probably
embarrassing.
The most stunning loss I have seen in a very, very long time. It's like I said yesterday, the Seahawks had never lost by more than 10 points in the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era. And you know, Russell just did not play well. You could say people have said three of the interceptions were not on him, but he still did not play well. The defense without Earl Thomas, it was definitely a difference. This team, they don't make sense. You know, like at home they're undefeated, but on the road 1 week they're beating New England in New England, and then a few weeks later they're getting pounded by the Packers, who look terrific right now. Right now. No teams in the NFC are hotter than Tampa Bay and Green Bay.
Yeah, two teams that would be tough to play going down the stretch, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely. And also disappointing loss was we have to mention the Cowboys here.
Oh, yeah, they had a disappointing loss this week. Not that disappointing.
No, I mean, you, to be fair,
not Armageddon.
You came in here and said the one team you were afraid of facing was the Giants, and you thought they matched up well, and they did. I mean, the defense played really well, obviously, on Sunday night. Offense, not so much, but the defense played really well.
And Lee's a beast.
Sean Lee's great.
He's a beast. When he's healthy.
He's the only Pro Bowler to be on that defense, and yet that defense has played a bit. Like, I look at that roster,
absolutely.
At the Pro Bowl every week, and yet, as a team, they play amazing.
Yeah, they come together as a unit, a bend but don't break unit, not to mention the fact that Sean Lee, he's around the football on every play. He has been on absolute. You're right, Tony. He's the only Pro Bowler on that unit. He is having a phenomenal season. We always knew he could put up a season like this. You know, for guys to play in IDP circles, he would be one of the top individual defensive players if he could ever stay on the field. Now, for the first time, we're seeing a fully healthy Sean Lee, knock on wood, and he is putting up he's an animal.
He's having a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal year.
Yeah, he's a blue-collar guy, you know what I mean, a hard hat, you know what I'm
happy
saying?
Happy because all the injuries he's went through, he's just come back very, very strong. Good
he's a Donald Trump-type player. speaking of Donald Trump, this was a comparison I made watching Monday Night Football last night. The New England Patriots are the Donald Trump of the NFL. Like, you're not really into them, to be honest with you, but they don't seem to lose, you know what I mean? So, you know they got something shady going on behind the scenes, but they keep coming up with these big-time victories. And that was an impressive performance by the Patriots last night. I mean, they took that great Baltimore defense, and they really kind of had their way with them. The big play to Chris Hogan. You know what I'm saying? They brought the running game, ran it straight down their throats. Baltimore had their moments. Baltimore, of course, not a team that's going to give up or quit. But I was really impressed with the New England Patriots last night. The whole thing, they got the machine rolling, and they're getting it ready at a nice time of year. But you do know that it is every week. This is the NFL, is every week league. So it could change this upcoming week. Got another tough matchup for them with the Denver Broncos going on the road to Denver. But they were thoroughly dominant last night.
And they've done it without Gronk, too.
Yeah. So you did the no Gronk thing, the defense not playing.
That's
as
what
well.
Winning teams do. You mm-hmm. know, it's like a big piece like that goes down, and you know they just they change what they're doing and they still win ball games.
Yeah, they're getting it done. You yeah. know what I'm saying? They are the AFC. I think is weak this year, Greg. I think the AFC is weaker than the NFC. I think the NFC is very strong, but I don't look at the AFC as being as strong. But I think if the Patriots were in the NFC, I think they would have a tougher time getting to the Super Bowl this year. But I think, I mean, really outside of Kansas City, I don't think nobody really has the guns. And I really
and you don't really think Kansas
and
City
I really don't think
guns.
Kansas City
no.
has the guns. You
Once
know
it
what I'm
starts
saying?
With the playoffs with Kansas City, you know,
but
we
are we
seen
wrong?
Enough.
But okay, but that's always been the narrative. Oh, can right. we possibly? I mean, how are you going to beat New England? You have to play mistake-free football, and right. that's what Kansas City does.
They do pounce on mistakes. They've been the top of the league in interceptions and turnovers the whole year.
I just worry about their ability to run the football.
Yeah, Spencer Ware's obviously struggled. I just don't want to say. I just hate saying like a team whenever they get to the playoffs it doesn't matter. Like not that it doesn't matter, but it's hard to. We know they're not a playoff team, right? Like Dak Prescott's a rookie. He's gonna fail in the playoffs. The Chiefs have failed in the playoffs from before. So should we just anoint the Seahawks and the Patriots right now? I mean, to me, it's a little early for that, right?
No, you can't. The Seahawks have nothing to do with that.
Right. I'm going to say the Seahawks because Dak Prescott, you know.
Oh, don't look at me like that, Scott. Because right now, if you was to play a wild card game with the Giants winning in Seattle, the Giants would beat Seattle right now.
Yeah, I think you're just trying to mess with me.
I'm not so trying
I'm
to
like
mess with you.
I'm like disregarding
this. Look at it.
Let me ask you a question.
The Giants could.
But to say that the Seahawks have nothing to do with this and all of a sudden a team who's been like the only regular contender in the NFC for the last 5 years.
Why does that matter?
Is not going to all of a sudden be relevant. You can't tell me. You just said they're irrelevant.
Scott, you did not say they're irrelevant.
He said they were irrelevant. He said they have nothing to do with
it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. When it comes down to the final four, I don't think the Seahawks are in that mix right now. If you look at the two, and you look at the AFC and NFC championship games, and you can say that Seattle is a team that you can definitely punch their ticket to that game.
I'm not saying they can punch their ticket to the game.
I don't think you can punch anybody's
ticket to the game. That's
First
what
of
I'm
all,
saying.
You should have lost. You should have lost the wild card game to Minnesota last year. So don't
should have coulda woulda. Okay, you're supposed to execute. You're supposed to make the kick. Okay. You don't. You lose. They lost.
The team is not making the kick this year. That defense is not what it was. You said it yourself.
I said
it. The offensive line struggles. Russell Wilson is not playing like Russell Wilson. Listen, it can all change.
Russell Wilson had a big off game.
It can all change.
He was playing well before that.
It can all change.
He had a lot of off games.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he was hurting those other off games.
Scott, I can't do the excuses right now. It's too close.
You cannot tell me there wasn't January. A four or five game stretch though where Russell Wilson wasn't himself.
Okay, yeah, no, earlier in the season.
I'm gonna capitalize this for you. Before we draw
right now
it out.
It's winning time.
Do you feel comfortable
versus Detroit right now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Detroit's playing very good. You feel comfortable versus the Giants?
Yes. If it's home, yes.
The Giants have a better record than Seattle. Just saying.
You feel comfortable versus
the
Falcons?
They've had an easier schedule.
Now, Atlanta's already been in there.
Atlanta is a team that I would fear more than any other
mentioned. Can we go back to this easier schedule thing? Can we look at Seattle's division for a moment?
Yeah, but look who else they played, though, outside of the division.
So Seattle...
Let me tell you something. Seattle walked into New England and beat New England.
Okay, that's a good win.
Giants went to Dallas and beat Dallas.
That's a good win.
That's a better win. That's just as good of a win.
It's not as big a win as going into New England, though, I don't think.
Why?
I
believe had a better record.
I believe the Dallas Cowboys are 11-2 on the season. Is that correct?
They beat them in week one, though, before they started to gel. Let's see them do it now.
What about when they beat them at home last week? They beat them twice.
Let's see them beat them in Dallas, you know, in the playoffs.
Did the Seattle Seahawks lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Did that happen?
Yes, they did.
Oh, did the Giants beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Did that happen? Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I'm sure we can go out the schedule and cherry pick those kinds of things.
You're the one that cherry picked the schedule. You said the Giants have played a much
easier
schedule.
We also beat Atlanta. We also beat Miami.
And the Buccaneers played at a different time. The Buccaneers and the Giants played at a different time, in all fairness.
We can split hairs all we want here. My bottom line is that in the playoffs, especially in the NFC, I don't think you can punch anybody's ticket.
Of course not. That's what I'm saying.
I think in the playoffs, it's all about suddenly somebody, and you know this as a Giant fan.
Sure.
Somebody could suddenly start to get hot, and anything can happen. I don't think you can count the Seahawks out because of their playoff experience and the guys that they have on that team. I certainly don't think you can count the Giants out because of Eli Manning.
And he's been like their worst player.
But that offense is flawed, though.
Exactly.
That's the
they have no balance on offense. The best player is Beckham.
Right.
Beckham is the only guy on the Giants that
Tampa
can beat
Bay
you.
Is hot. You can't. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to make it or not. It's like the two teams that I would say are probably not in that mix for me. If Detroit, if this finger injury for Stafford is big, it's, you know, whoever wins the AFC North is not a team that I'm going to fear. I'm not going to fear the Redskins. I would say probably the four.
You wouldn't fear the Packers? You just got crushed by them.
Yeah, I would. I would, but I don't know if they're going to make it. Is that the thing? They still have to run the table, and there are other teams in the picture. I would say the four best teams in the NFC right now are probably Dallas, the Giants, Atlanta, and Seattle.
You left Detroit out that mix.
And Tampa.
And yeah, you left, but specifically Detroit, who's the number two seed right now. Right, as a playoff start today, Seattle would play Tampa Bay.
Right.
How'd that work out last time?
Let's see what happens this time when they come to Seattle.
All right. Keep banking on that home field advantage.
See, you know what, though?
On that home field
you're doing two things, though. One, you're trying to screw with me, and I realize that, okay?
Scott,
secondly,
I'm telling the truth.
Secondly, the Seahawks have raised such a high bar over the last 5 years that if they don't play up to a certain standard, everybody starts writing them off. They're still a contender, and I don't think anybody can say otherwise.
As I said to you, Scotty, how I kind of started this was simply saying that I didn't like how we're just that, how, you know, you said, we're talking about New England, right? That was the conversation, that Kansas City, you know, because of their past failures, we're just punching tickets, right? Like, oh, New England's just going to get walked there because of their past failures. I don't want to use the past as an indication. We'll see what happens. And the same goes for the NFC with Seattle, with Dallas. I think there's a lot of contenders. I certainly would not count out the Seahawks, absolutely not, but I wouldn't count out
the
any
problem.
Of these teams right now.
Yeah, the problem in the AFC, there isn't any.
Right.
I mean,
that's the thing, New England's the one team you look at and say, okay, punch the ticket.
I mean, you look at Bill Belichick. He is amazing. Like last night, Shay McClellan was the guy that was on that defense playing linebacker.
Yep.
He got cut by the Bears. Like, what the heck is going on with some of these guys? You know, he was a first-round pick. He's an undersized defensive end, and he gets cut by the Bears, and he's in the middle of the defense last night on a big game, and a guy came out of nowhere. Like, they keep doing things like this. You saw Chris Hogan come back and reemerge. It just doesn't matter. Like, you talked about Rob, they do it without Rob Gronkowski. They won the first four games, 3 out of 4, without Tom Brady.
Yeah, they have the machine rolling right now. You got it. I mean,
I look at the teams, like the Dolphins are the biggest fraud. They're the worst 8-5
biggest fraud
team I've ever seen.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
and they're going to make the playoffs.
I don't think they will. I don't think they
really?
The yeah.
Who it's going to be tough
think the
for them
to catch them.
I think the Ravens will catch them.
They're not in it right now. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, they're not in it right now.
I think the Dolphins are in it right now because of Ravens' loss.
Ravens lost last night, so the
Dolphins
are not in it. The Broncos are in it right now.
The Broncos are the
6th. Broncos have a tiebreaker over Miami.
Yeah, the Broncos have the tiebreaker over Miami. So, and Pittsburgh is intriguing if Pittsburgh goes into Foxborough because of their offense.
That's what I said.
But Ben Roethlisberger.
I said that weeks ago.
But Ben Roethlisberger is
the one team
on
the road. Like a really, the two teams with really good defenses are Denver and Kansas City.
Baltimore's a pretty good defense.
They're on the outside looking in right
now.
They
are. I'm just saying they're pretty good defense.
Yeah, I'm saying the two teams that I know pretty likely to be in the mix are Denver and Kansas City. And the one thing with Kansas City is when you have a good defense, anything can happen in the playoffs. I would have more confidence in Alex Smith than Trevor Siemian.
Okay.
In a playoff environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not in fantasy.
If Denver loses to New England, though, they're going to be on the outside.
Right. Yeah, and Baltimore could be right back in there. Miami could be in there as well. So we'll see. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk more about Monday Night Football, and we'll get into the Jeff Fisher stuff from yesterday. We take a break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's get into last night's game a little bit more here. We talked about LeGarrette Blount. He had 18 carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown. The monster night comes from Hollywood, Chris Hogan. Hogan, 5 receptions, 129 at a touchdown, including what was about an 80-yard bomb to him. Julian Edelman kind of did his thing. Michael Mitchell had a touchdown, as did Martellus Bennett for New England. Brady just kept on rocking, 406-3 for TFB. For Baltimore, I'm watching this game, and could someone explain to me why Kenneth Dixon has not been the lead back all season long.
Here's the thing. I think maybe it took the young man a little time to get rolling. But I'm watching. I mean, it wasn't a great statistical game, but I'm watching him run. And he's a guy I'm
keeps
going to
those
be,
legs churning.
He's a guy I'm going to be in on
next year.
Next year. He's a guy I'm going to be in on in that maybe 5-6 round range if the hype doesn't get too big. Catching the football out the backfield nicely. You see him come in there next year. He looks like, I don't want to jump out the window, but he looks like he could be a possible bell cow in that offense. You know what I'm saying? Definitely the best thing they've had in that running game since Ray Rice. So I don't know, Greg, if I can say, okay, where's this guy been at all season? But I tell you what, I definitely like the way that he is playing right now. 22 points in the PPR, I think running back 7 on the week. Kenneth Dixon is a piece that I like for these next 2 weeks.
I don't know if I see him as a workhorse, like every down back. What I think that you see is the versatility. It's more like, not like a workhorse in an NFL sense, but a guy that can be versatile both as a runner as a passer that could have significant fantasy upside. You know, to say early in his career, like, you don't know what a kid like that, if you know they give him too much work, if he gets overworked. But I think we've already seen that he can at least be efficient with the amount of touches that he's going to get.
Especially if he's healthy. And that's the thing. We saw him get healthy. We saw him get in the mix, start to learn the system. And is Terrence West still a thing, to be honest with you?
I don't know. After last night, I don't think so. It seemed like Kenneth Dixon...
He might be a goal line back, and that's it.
Maybe, but look, Kenneth Dixon was in there inside the red zone yesterday, scoring that touchdown. And this offense, Tony, they don't even try to go down the field. Everything is first look within 5 yards, every freaking play.
Yeah, and that's the tough... When you look at that, it's not an offense that should be doing that. Because Perryman is an absolute fastest player in the National Football League, so he can get deep. Mike Wallace's whole career has been deep. At this stage of his career, though, Steve Smith's a guy that can catch the ball within 4 or 5 yards. They have the ability with the talent at wide receiver to actually get deep, and they're not taking advantage of it.
I don't know.
Question, Tony. Who's faster, though, Perryman or Tyreek Hill?
Just based on the data or those shoulder pad things they have in there, that Perryman is the guy who was the fastest guy in the National League.
What I think it is confidence in the offensive line to give them enough time to get down the field consistently. Because we've seen, like you said, this offense in the past be a big play down the field type offense, especially as they get later on into the season. One of Joe Flacco's strengths is that big arm. So maybe some trust in the O-line and creating enough time for them for those plays to develop to get down the field. But if they do have the confidence, they definitely should be going down the field more because Perryman can flat out fly.
Yeah, Perryman can fly. Mike Wallace can fly. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve Smith has it underneath. I mean, this is a team that should be really chucking it up, and they don't. It's all. I don't know why Joe Flacco is getting rid of the ball as quickly as he is. It's not that he doesn't have time. It's, you know, the Patriots are rushing 3 guys last night.
Looking at the last 2 games for Flacco, and I'd like to hear from all of you on this, including Greg. Can you have confidence in him going forward in the rest of your fantasy playoffs as a starter?
No, you're not starting Joe Flacco.
Here's the thing.
You're not starting Joe Flacco.
No, but here's the thing, though. I mean, he was quarterback 4 this week. He was up in the top. He was in the top 10.
Was he quarterback, like 2 or 1 last week?
Yeah, you see, and I was it's a good point, Scott, because I was thinking about this last night. Because I got a league where I have Roethlisberger and Flacco, and I'm like,
Greg looks at it as preposterous because of his history.
Yeah, but
I do.
Flacco's.
I'm not saying I'm throwing it out.
Flacco might be a thing right now. I'll be honest with you.
Well, who do they have next week?
Yeah.
Who do they have next week?
The Eagles.
The Eagles. Would you guys start Flacco against the Eagles?
Who are their options?
Would you rank him as a top 12 fantasy quarterback? Would you consider him in that range? Tony?
He'd be right. He'd be on the fringe of top 12. But I don't think this is crazy. I think if you really look at the numbers, right, the one thing we talk about a lot is opportunity. And Joe Flacco leads the National Football League in passing attempts.
And that's the thing, Tony, right? I dismissed him quickly, but you're right. Last night he threw it 52 times. This team does not run the ball. There was a point last night as they came out of halftime that the discrepancy was 3 runs to 27 passes. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
52 attempts this week, 47 the week before, 36 the week before, 35 the week before, 41 the week before. Yeah, the opportunities are there, and as the wide receivers start to mesh,
he's thrown 47 more balls than Aaron Rodgers, and all we talk about is how many times Aaron Rodgers throws the ball.
Yeah, I'm having a decision to make this week, to be honest with you. I didn't think I would. I held on to him going into the playoffs as a, well, since he's out there, let me pick him up. And now I'm looking at Ben Roethlisberger like, wow, if Roethlisberger's not home, should I start Joe Flacco over him?
I would never do it. And Ben Roethlisberger's had some tough games, and they've committed the last 2 weeks to the running game. Where you look at the number of carries that Le'Veon Bell's had the last 2 weeks have been amazing, and it's working. So you would think that they would go there, and I still couldn't do that. I couldn't go and make that switch.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Because
statistically, statistically, everything I look at says, yeah, he could go ahead. I just couldn't do it.
So, it's a long time.
I don't know. It'd be a decision that I wrestle with this week.
You're not even going to consider him at all, Greg?
I didn't say that. I backtracked about 5 minutes ago on this. I said after looking at 52 pass attempts, 27-3, I think it's hard. It's hard not to. But you know, again, it's depending on who it is, depending on who you have, right?
Always, yeah.
Oh, and you, whenever I ask you that question, it's always your response, right? So, like, are you starting Joe Flacco next week against Philly? Are you starting Marcus Mariota in Kansas City? Let's go back to that conversation.
I start Mariota.
You start Mariota.
Yeah.
I think I might consider Flacco.
Okay. I just
it's a tough spot for Mariota on the road.
It's a very tough spot for Mariota.
Very opportunistic defense.
Absolutely.
I think I'd go Flacco.
Okay.
Tony, what would you do?
Tennessee's not no slouch.
I would lean right now to Flacco, too. Mariota is always scary to me. There's no room for error. Last week he won a game with 66 yards passing. He's thrown 23, 25 attempts in these one games. When you throw the ball that little, you can't put up big numbers.
But he's been efficient, though, to be fair.
Well, not last week.
No. Last week he wasn't.
No.
But last week was Denver.
Well, this week's Kansas City.
It's true.
Arrowhead.
Kansas City's let up the fifth most points to wide receivers.
Yeah, and the wide receiver get the ball from the quarterback.
And they do. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
I think, Scotty, I think you were right. You know, I dismiss it instantly, this Joe Flacco thing. When you just look at these numbers, you shouldn't be dismissing it that quickly. I think that's right. The moral of the story.
Well, you know what I'm saying? We're all talking this through.
Of course.
You dismissed it instantly. We talked it through. You changed your mind.
Right.
I just said they're going to Kansas City. You know, Tony said, points out the wide receiver thing. We're all talking it through. And then we come to a decision.
I'll say this. I wish I started Joe Flacco over Eli Manning. That's for damn sure.
You would still be playing. Excuse me, I'm standing up because my leg fell asleep.
But you know what, though? You feel good because Eli Manning won in the NFL this week.
Sussman, you broke your rule.
I know.
And that's why you lost.
I know.
Because you could have waited to Monday night and watched the game.
Well,
right?
I could have, but I had Sunday. It was Sunday night. It wasn't like Eli played at 1 o'clock. They played Sunday night, so I felt good. That was the difference. I just thought, man, who would have thought the Giants would have 10 points? The Cowboys would have 7. That's not, oh, God.
Not me. I thought the game would go under the total because Dallas would. They
That's
won
fine.
The
you go under the total. 10 points!
I never thought it'd be 10-7.
Yeah, and I also had Dan Bailey, right? I thought Dan Bailey was going to get 1 point all night. Dan Bailey hits that 55-yarder. Guess who's playing?
Yeah, Dan Bailey hits that 55-yarder.
I'm playing!
And your Giants probably would have lost.
That's not true. Overtime?
Yeah, overtime.
You know what? Someone would score. I'd probably get some points there.
Yeah, that's true, too. So, intriguing stuff this upcoming week. Hey, let me ask you fellas this. This is another decision I'm going to have this week. This is the part of the week where we talk about our decisions coming up.
Yeah, we're me guys.
If Melvin Gordon is out, right?
Yes, sir.
Would you start Farrell over Spencer Ware?
Let's talk about that the other side of this. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Angle Parsons, Sincotta, and Sussman with you. Corey proposed something for the break. Let's go back to that, Corey.
Yeah, looking at this week coming up, got this situation where I picked up Kenneth Farrow late in the season, probably about week 11, something like that,
smart.
In case something happens.
You have Gordon?
Yeah, no, I don't have Gordon. Dollar make you holler, snatched him up off the waiver wire, was getting ready to cut him on several occasions, but something said, you know what, continue to hang on to the kid. He could be a piece down the stretch, and nobody else would have him. so it can be a difference in point adjustment. Team running backs on the team currently, Latavius Murray, LeSean McCoy, those guys are in my lineup. But I also have this Farrow dude, and I have Spencer Weir, who hasn't been performing as well as I would like. And I'm looking at Farrow's workload from this past week and carried the ball 16 times. He also caught 6 passes. In the PPR league, that's 6 catches is a touchdown. Now, I'm looking at him for this week like, you know what? This kid could very well be a better play going up against the Oakland Raiders, who are 29th against opposing running backs. Right now, if Gordon is out, it's a 4:25 start. Spencer Ware starts at 1 o'clock. But if Gordon is out, I think I might roll with Farrell.
Inside injuries, the early word on him is they think he might be doubtful to play. We'll know more tomorrow when we talk to Dr. A. The one thing that I heard about out of San Diego, and this won't necessarily be the case, but just something to keep in mind, is that Ronnie Hillman was inactive last week. And I saw a report that said if Hillman is active, that he could be the pass-catching back for them this week.
Ronnie Hillman, though.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that'll happen. Saying. I'm just saying that I heard that report.
I feel what you're saying. I'm just looking at Ware's production, I think we have for the past couple of weeks, you know, in that 10 to 11-point range, whereas Farrell against Oakland, not only could he catch a couple of passes, he can score a touchdown or two, too, because teams score, running backs can score against Oakland.
See, that's the upside. The downside I see with Farrell after watching him last week is he's not a big guy. He doesn't make people miss. He tries to do it with power. And I'll say I wouldn't expect a lot of yardage upside.
No.
But I could get a touchdown or two. That kid, I think, can push the pile, you know, if they get close to the end zone, and they will throw.
What do you think, Tone?
Tennessee only allowed 5 rushing touchdowns so far this season. I think it's a tough matchup for Spencer Ware. I would probably lean the other way. And just because Ronnie Hillman could be involved in the passing game, San Diego has shown they're one of the teams that have shown the ability to use one back with Melvin Gordon all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at least they're not reluctant and they're not going to bring a second guy in just for the sake of bringing in, which we see some teams in the NFL. So I think there's a chance to get some catches with them.
Even in the
16,
you see,
Oakland Raiders defense, Greg, has given up 16 touchdowns to opposing running backs on the season. What a running game, a quarterback could have scored. But that's 4th in the NFL.
I would go with Kenneth Farrow, and I'll tell you why. I'm a Spencer Ware guy. I have been since August. I believe in this guy, but yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. We have said week after week now that Spencer Ware, the matchup is awesome. The matchup is awesome. This week, the matchup is not awesome.
No.
And in the last couple of weeks, Spencer Ware, he may have found the end zone once or twice, but he has struggled on the ground. We love Kansas City. We love the fact that they run the ball so often. But with San Diego, as Tony just mentioned, they have shown this year they have the ability to just go with one running back. And when Melvin Gordon went down last week, they did just that. They went with one running back. And I think Kenneth Farrow is going to have this role in this offense. Whether they're passing the ball 50 times, he's going to catch plenty of passes. They're going to run the ball. I think it's not like you're going to Ronnie Hillman on the goal line,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's not like
no.
It's a not thing.
Matt Asiata.
Right, right. You know who they're going to go to on the goal line. You know who they're going to go on the goal line.
Who?
Andre Williams.
Oh, that'd
the practice squad.
That'd be brutal, you know what I mean?
I think if I had to choose right now on a Tuesday, I would go with Kenneth Farrow.
I think I'm going with Kenneth Farrow also. Also, another situation out there for guys to monitor this week is with Matt Forte. And I think if Forte is out, you got to love Bilal Powell.
Well, Scott mentioned this yesterday. That of course, you love Bilal Powell because he's the only guy there, but they're not facing the 49ers again.
Who's their matchup this week?
The Dolphins on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay, I get
it. So you like Bilal Powell, obviously.
Yeah,
you don't love him like you love him last week.
Even if they do run for a ton of yardage, he's going to catch passes out of the backfield.
Right. So you like Bilal Powell, certainly.
In a PPR, you know, for those playing non-PPR, it's a little bit of a tougher decision.
If you had to start one, Tony, who would you start, Bilal Powell or Kenneth Farrow?
I would start Bilal Powell. Last week, I don't know what happened with David Johnson. He had 18 fantasy points, but they had 3 defensive starters out. Kiko Alonso was one of them. I can't believe that they didn't run all over that defense. I really think there's an opportunity there for Bilal Powell.
Yeah, I think he's an all B one.
I think he could be too. I like Villapel a lot this week. We liked him last week, of course, because he played in San Francisco. But I like him a lot this week.
How about the crazy, the one of the wild things? Speaking of running backs from this weekend, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah,
with the goal line, with the goal line carrying the touchdown.
So we said that yesterday.
Oh my goodness! I'm sorry, I wasn't here.
No, it's fine. I mean, I said that on Friday that we were overblowing this Gillislee thing.
This is
like
ridiculous.
I still believe that McCoy was going to get the carries, and he did.
NFL coaches lie like a rug.
They lie.
They lie like my baby mama. NFL coaches are unbelievable.
Yeah, and they got Cleveland this week, and you know what we said about it yesterday is like. You never believe what a coach says. You know, a guy's going to get more carries, he's going to be more involved. Beat reporters are not always correct, but, you know, a lot of times they are more on point than, you know, than the coach is, because the coach is just going to lie. You can never really go by what any of the things. People just hungry like that, though. The first piece of information they hear, they jump on it, whether it's from a coach or a reporter or whatever.
That's why you look at I think that we could have a record breaker this week. I think that there's a chance that Carlos Hyde has back-to-back 200-yard games now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a...
Two in the same season?
It's crazy. It's very surprising. It's crazy.
And they'll lose again.
And they'll lose again. let's take a break here. We come back. We're going to talk more about what we got going on this weekend. We're going to get to Jeff Fisher at the top of the hour because I have some fun stuff to read about that. So stick around. Roto Experts comes back right after this. Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern here, RotoExperts.com. You have the chance for free to chat with the king, Scott Angle. His weekly chat, 7 p.m. for free, over at rotoexperts.com. Scott, what do you think would be the most common question you get this week?
I don't know if there is going to be a single common question that I can sort of predict.
I think you're going to have a lot of people this week asking the questions that we started off talking about a little bit while ago, what they should do with Joe Flacco. If they should pick up Joe
Flacco,
might
be one of them, but I can't see it being a dominant question. I think some of the disappointments that we saw from last week, people will ask about Breeze, Russell Wilson. That might be predominant. You know, can they go back to them this week?
Andrew Luck, tough matchup too this week. Going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings.
You know, I'm expecting a lot of quarterback questions tonight.
Quarterback. So that's going to be a theme, you think. Quarterback
right.
Questions. Okay. Kenneth Farrow, we were talking about him earlier. We talked about coaches lying, right? And that's kind of where this Ronnie Hillman thing comes in. Like, I don't want Ronnie Hillman to scare people out of starting Kenneth Farrow this week because I think that's absurd. I think that's just one of those things where we're going to look at and be a little nervous about, Ronnie Hillman's going to split time. Oh, no. That's not true. Was Ronnie Hillman active this week?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No.
Okay. We don't even know if Ronnie Hillman's going to be active this week. I joked about Andre Williams. How do we know Andre Williams won't get the nod instead of Ronnie Hillman? We don't. So, to me, Kenneth Farrow is going to be pretty safe as long as he plays.
Hillman's a different style than Farrow.
Yes.
So
that
might make
Andre Williams,
towards Hillman. Andre Williams, like...
He's just bad.
He's physical.
Yeah.
Farrow's physical,
and that people touch him and he falls.
Physical runner.
Okay.
It makes no sense for Hillman to play.
I agree.
San Diego isn't going anywhere.
Correct.
He's not going to be on the team next season. So why would they play him?
It kind of makes no sense for Gordon to play either, too. He's not 100% here.
I agree, but you do have a coach trying to...
Save his job,
Trying to save his job, so he always puts himself, in the best position to win. So Hillman would have to clearly be the better player. But we're starting to see some of these front offices dictate the decisions on some of these younger players, which with the New York Jets situation, and the reason Ryan Fitzpatrick was there, because he gave him the best chance to win, and the coach was trying to hang on to his job. And you start to see more and more these younger players getting in, and the GM's trying to evaluate talent for the next season. That's why I don't think Ronnie Hillman's going to see more than 5 or 6 touches.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason for it because Ronnie Hillman will not be back in San Diego here next season. But there's also spots, Tony, where the GM isn't making decisions that coaches are trying to make the playoffs. Now it's a different spot, and that kind of leads me to Denver, where Devontae Booker's workload keeps going in the wrong direction, while Justin Forsett comes in, immediately grabs hold of his job necessarily, but you know, he carried the ball more here, and Justin Forsett, that became a thing. Devontae Booker, you cannot start him in the playoffs, right?
He's done. He's done. Yeah. He's popped. He's popped. Forget about it. He's not the lead back, and then the matchups don't dictate to success anyway.
Right.
He's done. Put him on your bench. He's like an emergency play. I've washed my hands of Devontae Booker.
And I think you should too. Now, is this going to be something like will you remember this next year? Will that be something that reminds you? Like next year, you're going to think about this thing and be like, you know what? Let me pause Devontae Booker. I know CJ Anderson will obviously be back, but is this something you're going to want to get involved with?
He could be like Melvin Gordon, you know what I'm saying, and break out. But like you said, Anderson's going to be in front of him. He did nothing to secure or win this job. And the opportunity he had, he did not take advantage of it.
Tom?
I can see myself getting talked into CJ Anderson again.
Yeah. I don't
see Booker being there, but I could see me going drafting CJ Anderson.
The Scotty, wait with the king. Where are you on this? You're gonna be silent here
because these guys are pretty much covering it all. You know, it
was an opinion question.
I'm in agreeance with them. It's like I could see myself going back to Anderson and Booker's finished.
Since we're talking,
Corey. Booker's finished. So you are on the Booker's finished.
There's nothing I can see from him. They wanted to give him his chance, and he kind of flamed out. This is, to me, this like with these Denver running backs over the last few years, it's like, it's CJ Anderson. It's nothing. It's like there was Monty Ball. Now there's Devontae Booker. It's like, I just wonder if, like, you know, will this team maybe go to a running back in free agency? We don't know because the ones they've drafted haven't turned out too good.
Okay, so let's fast forward. It's August 2017. You're on the clock. The Ravens have already said Kenneth Dixon is our back. Terrence West is the backup. Kenneth Dixon is going to be our guy. You like Kenneth Dixon or do you like CJ Anderson?
I like Kenneth Dixon. My initial reaction was Kenneth Dixon, of course, you know, last night, forefront of my head. But the Ravens don't run the ball. And will they run the ball next year? It's totally different year and all that stuff.
He is a pass catching running back though.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't know that he's the goal line guy. I don't know. You can't answer this question right now.
Yeah, it's too early.
It's too early for that question.
Yeah, do they bring in somebody to share time with him, you know?
Well, right. We just said that he's the back.
There's no other running backs in the team.
In the fictional fantasy football world, you know what I'm saying? Kenneth Dixon is the guy.
I'd take a shot on him as a, but can we, CJ Anderson, if you know he's going to be the guy, I think I still got to lean Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right, Scotty. These Denver running backs over the last couple of years have been not untrustworthy. We'll call them that. How's that?
Yeah.
So, Wendell Smallwood's done for the year. He was placed on IR. Darren Sproles in the concussion protocol. You should like Ryan Matthews, but he plays Baltimore, Tony, although LeGarrette Blount didn't seem to have many problems last night. What do you think of Ryan Matthews this week?
I don't love him. I think that he's going to be a top 24 running back. When people put their rankings together, so in a 12-team league, he probably plays, and it's probably not a good outcome for your fantasy football season.
Scotty?
Yeah, but I would have to agree with that. You know, I think you know he's certainly capable of getting goal line carries though. So I think you certainly got to consider him for a flex spot this week.
Let me go to you, Corey.
Go ahead.
No, you got nothing? No, Ryan Matthews?
It's a Band-Aid. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, though, Baltimore did let up a touchdown to LeGarrette Blount last night, but Ryan Matthews is not LeGarrette Blount.
I mean, if you're going to start Ryan Matthews this week, we're talking about a flex and a 12-team standard.
And some of the other choices don't seem viable.
You're in the Final Four right now. Your team should be better than having to start Ryan Matthews.
If I made it, not the league I lost last night. If I made it in the other league, I would have started Ryan Matthews this week, unfortunately. But that's where we were.
Well, that's kind of maybe why you're not in it.
that might have something to do with it. Let's quickly go to Kelly and Tavi. You're a couple minutes from the break. Let's go to Kelly and Tavi. Start off. Kelly's gone. Is Irv still there, Chris? All right.
Hey, girl.
She's not there. Irv's a man. That's okay.
Hey,
Irv.
Irv, what's going on, my
Mawa.
Man?
Mawa.
Hey, Hey, good morning, boys. Corey, Tony, Greg, Scotty. I need your help, boys. I got injuries to Julio, Mel Gordon, and Moncrief, so I got to make moves. And Corey, like you, I had Faro, but like a dum-dum, I dropped him last week for four sets. So,
yeah, wow. You can't knock that move, though. It happened, but I can understand
that's what I was thinking. So, here's my bench wide receivers. I got Macklin, Devontae Parker, and Mike Wallace on my bench.
I don't like none of them.
Okay. Would you drop any of those to pick up? This is what's on the wire: Montgomery, Robbie Anderson, Will Fuller, Marcus Lee, Chris Hogan. You like any of those over those guys?
Yeah.
And then I got a quick RP question.
Hold off the RB question. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. I would drop all those wide receivers.
Yep, I'm about to say
I would drop every single one of them.
It's a PPR. You got to get Marcus Lee.
Marcus Lee. I like Robbie Anderson. I like Tom Montgomery. All better than the other guys. You don't want to start any of the other guys.
Cut those three and add those three.
Taylor Gabriel and Pierre Garçon could be out there also. I like them too.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break here.
Gabriel might not be out there.
When we come back, we move on to Jeff Fisher. This will be exciting. Stick around. Roto Experts comes back after this.
Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Parson, and Tony Sicada here too. So I wanted to get in to Jeff Fisher.
You got your wish.
I got my wish. Well, I mean, I knew I was getting my wish. I knew when we were doing this. So that's fine. Jeff Fisher is no longer the coach of the Los Angeles Rams. Who play the Seattle Seahawks.
Ram fans celebrate.
They do. So we talked about this a little bit last night on Out of Bounds at 4 p.m. And I actually tried, you mentioned Roto World a little earlier with Ray Summerlin, right? You mentioned that, Corey.
Yeah, I was to be
last hour. And I reached out to Pat Doherty of Roto World to come on the show today. He didn't respond, which wasn't very nice.
No, he should have at least got back.
I sent him an email, I sent him a tweet, and he checked his Twitter, he checked his email.
Oh, he saw it?
Of course he did.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
What a son of a gun.
Yeah, it pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because we were going to talk about this morning. Yeah. I was very excited to, because he wrote Jeff Fisher's Roto World blurb. And you know how I love Roto World blurbs, right? Yeah. Everybody knows that about me. And this was the most
obviously he doesn't know that about you.
Clearly not.
Yeah.
And this is the most absurd one I've ever seen in my life. Ever. I don't know if you guys have read it, but I'm going to read it to you now. I don't even want to give him credit because he didn't come on with us. This is like a Tony move, right? Like you bash him. Are you okay, Pavona? You okay? Okay. Are you ready, Corey, for this?
I'm ready for this.
Here we go. Rams fired coach Jeff Fisher, period. In a cruel, ironic twist for the NFL's preeminent loser, the firing comes 3 days before he was set to pass Dan Reeves for the most coaching losses in league history. Fisher is so inept, he can't even claim a record that's been his destiny for over a decade. The firing is perhaps the most justified of the modern era. Fisher has had 5 years to turn around a laughingstock franchise, but instead made it into an even bigger joke. Fisher's team had truly made zero progress on the first year in 2012. A wanton waster of draft picks and capital, Fisher is clueless on Sundays, fundamentally misunderstanding offense and overseeing a cavalcade of idiotic penalties. Fisher doesn't make adjustments, aside from usually dialing up more personal fouls in the second half. Try as he may, he never came close to quote-unquote cleaning up his chronic, myriad, inexcusable mistakes. No coach in any sport, anywhere in the world, makes more excuses. Fisher has almost certainly coached his final NFL game.
Pretty tough stance by Pat Doherty right there. I think he went a little too far.
I believe he must be. I believe he's a St. Louisan who does not like the Rams.
Oh, that could very well.
I could hear that in the blurb.
That sounds almost personal. And his assessment of Jeff Fisher.
That's the one thing. It's like, I like Roto World because I can go there and I won't miss anything. But I feel like, their blurbs are like editorial mini columns. And, It's just something I just don't personally care for. I just, you know, give me the facts, give me the fantasy spin, that's it, you know?
That was one of the more absurd things I've ever heard. Yeah. I love Roto World, obviously. Look at that nice glass, wow.
Look at that.
I love Roto World, obviously. That was just another level, Tony.
Yeah, this is shocking, even for, I've been all over them for a couple of years because they've gotten, before it was just give me the news, just give me the news, that's what I go for, and now more and more writers are getting to impart their wisdom on us, and most of it's crap like this, but it's well written, they use a lot of fancy words, give them a lot of love.
Yeah, I usually like the jokes, that was the biggest, they're going off the deep end.
Yeah, I think he took.
They get
a
paid
bit.
More now. Hopefully, they get paid more now that they have the thing.
I hope so. Look who's on TV here. Scott's on TV here. Scott Angle is the king. He's on the Fantasy Sports Network and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at the same time.
The
rotation. Yeah.
Yes, it is the rotation.
But Gary and Thorne
interviewed me about my life and career. It was pretty cool.
Now, is Gary and Thorne going to come on the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour now that he interviewed you?
Why wouldn't he?
He need more chops.
No, you know
that's
what,
why.
Though?
He need more chops.
No, this is what I told. Like, we had talked about this on Out of Bounds. It's like, you know, Tony Stinkata says, you know, I've never been on the Hall of Fame Hour. I said, well, because kind of like, you know, I like to bring in people from outside the company. You know,
sure.
Not look incestuous for a better way of terming it.
I know who your next guy. I know who you should.
That's a dirty word.
It is,
I know who you should bring on.
Cool.
Chris Liss.
I would have Chris Liss on, yeah. That's a good one. I should reach out to Chris.
He's in Germany or something, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he did move, right? Yeah.
I had
Is it because DFS is legal there?
I had Ron Chandler on this past week.
Oh yeah, getting up close to that time.
Arthur Bacall, who runs the facilities here at Rock and Riley's, and helped us spearhead the building and studio.
That was promotional, right? And there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You have the bell right in front of you,
yeah.
Corey.
And come see
Scott,
us.
Scott, do me a favor.
Come see us at 218 West 5th.
Stop with that.
Fifth floor.
Why are you
Rock
doing that? Nobody does that.
Nobody, yeah.
Who, I don't understand why you have a problem with it.
I just don't get why you're giving out our address.
This is a public studio. I don't know. I don't get you, with all due respect. It's like, this is fantasy history here, the studio. This is a brick and mortar TV and radio studio.
Wow.
This is making fantasy history right now. This is a destination for fantasy players, and you don't want people to come here?
You know, I just don't like getting at the address.
Yeah, the
why?
Address,
well, how are they going to get here if they don't know the address?
It's so personal.
You just Google
they're
going to
find out
rock,
the address anyway. What's the difference?
I don't like that.
I know generally you don't like phone callers. You don't
like
tweeters.
I do like phone callers.
You don't like the listeners. You don't like the listeners.
This
studio is a public destination. Come see us at Rock and Riley's on 35th Street.
Have you ever heard anybody on the Today Show say, come to my exact address at Rockefeller Center?
We're not the Today Show.
We are the Today Show.
We've just made fantasy history here by building this studio. Who else in fantasy sports has a studio like this? We want the fantasy players to come down and hang out to us. SiriusXM was not built for fantasy sports.
Well, they have a studio.
They don't have a fantasy sports destination studio. It's like, you guys are in studio 2 if we can get it. This is fantasy history right here at 218 West 35th Street with Greg Sussman sitting right there against the wall.
Scott, I got one more guest that you should get on that Hall of Fame Hour.
What's that?
The creator of Craigslist, because without them, you wouldn't have a job.
I would have a job. It just wouldn't be this job.
Right?
Yeah.
That would be a crazy story to go over that with Craigslist.
That would be a crazy story.
Did you tell that story on the rotation?
I don't know if I mentioned the Craigslist
part. Oh, but you can mention the address that we had every time you turn the microphone on.
You need to stop.
You need to stop.
You guys need to stop.
Are you his father?
Yeah. I was talking to him. Who asked you?
I'm his friend.
What?
I'm his best friend.
I'm his friend. I'm a fight for you.
I'm his friend. Should I not stand up?
The playground?
Should I not stand up for my friend?
He's an adult. He's talking. He can defend himself.
I should stand up for my friend.
You don't know Corey Parson? You don't think the guy can't defend himself? Come on.
Maybe he wants some help from his
friends. He doesn't need you to step in for him.
Corey,
anyway,
did you
Corey,
appreciate me helping you out?
Corey,
yeah, thank you, Greg.
You need to stop.
Great.
There's a public
you
studio.
Need to stop?
We want people to come here and see this. Why don't you go tell like Mike Cardano or somebody like that? You don't want us to give us the address?
Yeah,
the studio.
I have.
And what is the reaction been?
He says it's hilarious when you do it.
It's hilarious when I give out the address.
That's a jumping jack, by the way. Yeah.
Whatever. I'll do a bunch of jumping jacks. I don't care whether okay, I say no, the names just, or not.
Don't do it like Richard Simmons like you did last week, though. You scared me.
Mine were more entertaining than yours.
I just wanted to get in and get out. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You were doing like Richard Simmons.
So the 2017...
Must have watched a lot of Richard Simmons.
2017 London games have been announced.
Oh, for real? For How real. Many the Jaguars got? Three?
They got one.
Okay.
One every year. There's four of them next year.
They should play eight.
Oh,
there.
We don't have the matchups, but you just know
I have the matchups.
Oh, the matchups have been in the set?
I have the matchups.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
The Jacksonville Jaguars will be the home team and face the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, you got to send Baltimore out there. All right.
Yeah.
Is that a game that anyone's interested in?
Nope.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins will be home in London.
Versus?
The New Orleans Saints.
That could be an interesting one.
Yeah. Not really interested.
The Dolphins are better next year. The Saints are always entertaining.
Who that in London?
Not interested.
Yeah. Who? All right. Who bloody dot?
The Cleveland Browns are home.
Oh man!
Oh boy!
They
Leave them there.
Cleveland out there.
Leave them there.
They gonna send
to
them back.
Face the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, that's pitiful right there.
I'm guessing the next one is the San Francisco 49ers.
It is not. Want to try again?
It's got to be a poor team. They can't lose a home game. No, they already had Jacksonville.
The Bears.
Nope.
Well, the Bears are a team. The Jets?
Nope.
The
Buffalo Bills?
Nope. You guys are very good at this. The fourth team hosting a game in London with the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, my goodness. Why are we giving them all bad football?
They'll take on the Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
In London. So the Jaguars and the Ravens, Dolphins and the Saints, Browns and Vikings, Rams and Cardinals. Four doozies for you.
I tell you what, if I'm...
We're looking at this now. By next season, this could change. You could be looking at the Saints and the Dolphins and end up being a good game.
Maybe that keeps Tony Romo from going to Arizona.
Have you said that for 20 years, Scott, about the Cleveland Browns?
I was... thanks, Tony, except for the Browns.
Honestly... By this point next year, I might be living in London, so who knows?
What they
catch
should
the
lose.
Game,
they
yeah.
should lose the London game. They should. You know
Why?
What I'm saying?
They increased it. Lose it. They gave him another one.
Yeah.
I don't know what Roger Goodell is
they
doing.
Should let, they should let
do.
The,
ja-
the,
yes,
they should
do.
Let the Browns play in like Siberia or something.
The Jaguars make nice. double the money in London than they do for a Jacksonville home game.
Wow. Okay, then.
Jaguars love going to London.
I guess
they have an office there, actually.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I guess the players have to despise it, though.
What?
Oh yeah.
You banged up. Got to get on that plane.
Wait. What's the difference between going from Jacksonville to London than Jacksonville to L.A.?
How long is the flight?
Probably either the same hours or longer.
I thought it was 9 hours though.
No. It's not 9 hours.
I'm looking it up.
No. 6.5. I don't listen. If that's from here.
How about the Browns?
It's five from here.
It's not. It's about the same between Jacksonville and New York going across.
Right, but you got to go up from Jacksonville.
Well, actually, you do. Technically, you go up and around from New York.
You go up, so that means you got to get even farther up for Jacksonville.
Not exactly. It's a different. It's a different route they take.
Well,
so it's about the same. Hour-wise, it's just a different.
That's
a
what I
bit
thought.
Of a different room.
So we're talking. If we're talking about six and a half hours, same
not
thing.
Bad.
About
yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, no, that's
should
not
let the
bad.
Browns
probably better than Seattle.
Yeah,
just play the Browns and the Rams. Let them play in like Tokyo or something.
Yeah, so you guys just keep bringing up random cities to the Browns.
Tokyo.
The further away, the better.
That's not very nice. Well, I don't. You think I want Hugh Jackson to go? I like Hugh Jackson.
Tokyo.
Travel there, right?
Yeah.
Jacksonville has no nonstop flights. So,
probably in real life they do.
It would be
from
a charter.
Orlando. Yeah. For Orlando to
London.
To London, 8 hours.
Okay.
That's going to be the longest trip of the season.
How far is it from there to Seattle?
5.5 hours, 6 hours.
Yeah. To Seattle? It's that short?
That's the longest trip of the season right there, going to London.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, though. I don't know.
Well, you're not on the damn plane.
I don't mind. You know what, though? These planes, they all have plenty of room. You guys are comfortable.
Well, that's what I keep saying about the NBA players, but they need rest.
How long of a flight was it to Spain? I'm serious. I'm actually serious.
Good one, Scott.
How long of a flight was it?
The flight to we had to stop over in Germany because there's no direct flights. You know,
man, that's really scary.
I did not. We couldn't afford a direct flight. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I went to Germany first, so I had to stop over there. I don't know.
That's rough.
Six and a half, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's another hour and a half or so.
I've heard it's like incredibly long to go to like Tokyo.
Well, Tokyo's not near Barcelona.
Yeah.
Tokyo's nowhere near Barcelona.
You can't fly direct anywhere from Jacksonville. I'm going to Orlando to Seattle to get a nonstop flight again.
All right. Thank you. Orlando and Jacksonville are close enough, right?
Oh, yeah. It's 6 hours and 22 minutes.
Okay. It's an extra hour. So we're saying it's an extra hour and a half to London. London's much nicer than Seattle.
You
anyway.
Could conceive a child in an hour and a half.
You could.
Yeah. In a minute and a half.
That's a great point. That's a great point. All right. So I mentioned Jeff Fisher. He's gone in L.A. finally. And the news, some local station in L.A., L.A. or St. Louis, I'm not actually positive which it is. So they ran a story, of course, about Jeff Fisher being fired. And the Chyron at the bottom said... It was Fox. This is in the Fox number 2. In L.A. I'm not sure if it's L.A. or St. Louis. So it's Fox 2. And it says, Kevin Demoff, who is the son of Jeff Fisher's agent Marvin, Rams chief operating officer / professional lawyer.
Yeah.
So it must be St. Louis then.
Yes, they probably that bitter.
Yeah. Who do you think the next coach of the Los Angeles Rams will be? Stan Kroenke is worth $12 billion. So he's got plenty of money to pay anybody he wants.
Yeah, I was reading the headlines that were saying, you know, it's like a very coveted job, and like John Gruden would even listen.
Oh, God. Why do we think John Gruden's like a good coach anymore? Why do we think this?
I think it's easy to think why he's a good coach. I mean, you could see him break down plays with quarterbacks every day, and he obviously knows what he's talking about. But I think
he
knows
the
number one choice.
Yeah. It'd be interesting, though. It's like so positive about everybody, like. On TV, like go into the locker room and close the door.
Tony, I think you put any coach in that booth, they could describe everything John Gruden is.
I don't think you would see Bill Belichick do it so eloquently.
And he knows Gruden. Listen, Gruden does it eloquently, but to say you know because he can work with a quarterback well. I don't think that just makes him like a good coach. You know,
Belichick is a broadcaster. Well, he'd be doing the New England game last week. And he said, "So what do you think? What do you think of Brady tonight?" Next week we're in Cincinnati.
Yeah. It gives him a chance. It doesn't make him a bad coach.
Yeah, I don't.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, a lot of guys have won Super Bowls.
A lot of guys have.
Not Jeff Fisher.
No, not Jeff Fisher.
What about Jim Moore?
And a lot of guys. And I think when you say a lot of guys,
junior,
Greg,
senior,
that's an erroneous statement on your part, actually, because you want to know how many coaches there have been in the history of the NFL and how many have actually won a Super Bowl.
Well, I wasn't saying a lot. There's just been a bunch of coaches.
You said a lot. Yes. So what is it? A lot or not?
Well, a lot of coaches. Not more than there's a million coaches in the NFL history. I understand that.
Right.
There's been a bunch of coaches that have won Super Bowls. Right.
So your statement makes no sense.
My statement makes sense in that John Gruden, because he can analyze a Monday Night Football.
No, you said a lot of coaches. No, you said a lot of coaches have won the Super Bowl. That's an erroneous statement.
Should Brian Billick be the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams?
I'm going back to the number of coaches that have won the Super Bowl. Isn't it erroneous?
It is a erroneous statement that, and I didn't say the majority, I said a lot, and there's, I'll take a lot.
You
from
said
a
many.
Bunch. I said a bunch. A bunch of coaches have won Super Bowls. That's true.
Okay.
That's true. It's a true statement. But just because you won a Super Bowl,
what you said.
Just because you won a Super Bowl doesn't make you just this unbelievable coach.
It means you can have a job as opposed to 28 coaches in the NFL that have never won a Super Bowl.
Why has Brian Billick never gotten another job?
Because Brian Billick has some off-the-field issues and nobody gets along with him.
What? Do you think? But he's won a Super Bowl, though. He's won a Super Bowl.
I know, but the owners, you know, they have the whole world to choose from. If they don't want to get along with a guy, they don't want to put him there. John Gruden, I don't think, has that problem.
I agree with that, but I think John Gruden was fired from Tampa Bay for a reason. 10 years ago.
Oh, those owners in Tampa Bay have fired a lot of coaches.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Happy with anyone.
I very much agree with that. But I think that
they fired Tony Dungy, the greatest guy in the world.
Tony Dungy is the reason John Gruden won that Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Tony Dungy's team.
It is Tony Dungy's team.
It's his team. He wasn't the GM.
It was his defense.
His defense. They had to get him the hell out of there to win a Super Bowl.
But then he goes to Indy, and then they win the Super Bowl.
They had the best quarterback, arguably, of all the history of. And he was such a good defensive coach. Their defense was terrible.
Jim Mora couldn't win. Jim Mora could not win a Super Bowl with that team.
Yeah, I'm not a big Jim Mora fan.
That's fine. That's fine.
Senior or junior.
Mike Ditka won a Super Bowl. He got fired from New Orleans very quickly. Jimmy Johnson won a Super Bowl. He got fired from Miami. No problem. Just because you win a Super Bowl doesn't make you the
Jimmy Johnson
great coach.
Get fired?
Miami, sure.
Everybody gets fired.
Everybody eventually gets fired. Because you know they fall off at some point. Tom Landry got fired.
Well, I'm naming guys with their second team, right? For the most part.
What I'm saying, but if you're talking about the situation with the Rams, why not Jim Moore?
Jim Moore or Jim Moore Jr.?
Jim Moore Jr., not his pops.
I don't know.
Successful in UCLA.
What did he do in the NFL, though?
Struggled.
Yeah, he said, but he deserved. I mean, what did Pete Carroll do his first shot?
And second shot.
Bill
Belichick.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, his first shot.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. To me, I think you do.
The Rams need an offensive-minded head coach. That's what they need. They do not need a defensive-minded head coach.
You know what? They need an offensive-minded head coach, and someone's going to bring some discipline in there, I think. Someone that's not going to put up with the crap Jeff Fisher did, basically.
It's going to be Jim Harbaugh if he can get out of Michigan.
I agree. I think Jim Harbaugh is definitely the number one choice, for sure, Tony. I totally agree with that. That if they can get Harbaugh out of Michigan, he's the number one choice. He's everything you want. He's an offensive mind. He's a disciplinarian. He's perfect.
And he wants to stick it to the 49ers.
Right. So that's why it's in L.A. They'll pay him a bajillion dollars. I completely agree it's Harbaugh if they can get him. Do you think they can get him?
I don't know what the contract situation. I mean, that's a quick turnaround, but I'm sure he knew he wanted to get out and coach the pro level. It seems like those two guys both do. So I'm sure he put something in the contract where they have an out.
Okay, if it's not Harbaugh, if he doesn't leave, we named guys yesterday. We named Josh McDaniels, who I think was briefly the Rams offensive coordinator before he went back to New England. Kyle Shanahan, we mentioned. But those guys, I mean, they're great. It could be great. They could be great head coaches. I think L.A. is going to make a bigger splash because it's L.A., it's Kroenke. I think it's a bigger splash here.
I wonder if they would go after Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick.
What about like going after like Nick Saban? Will they do that?
It's no reason to go down that road.
I'm just throwing that out there.
That's a – you know what? It's crazy. As crazy as it sounds, right? If he wants a shot – what else is he going to do? I mean, he keeps winning every year in college. Does he want to go back and try it again?
With a billionaire owner behind him, maybe?
Yeah.
Not that Stephen Ross wasn't a billionaire owner, but, you know. We'll think about this.
The quarterback situation's going to scare away some guys, I think.
Yeah, but it was interesting because so many people think the quarterback situation will make them interested if you can think you could salvage Jared Goff. That's the question. Let's take a break.
What about Darryl Bevell?
I don't think Darryl Bevell is high profile enough for the job.
Okay.
I think they need someone high profile. I really do. I don't know who it is. Like I said, I guess McDaniels has that relationship with Belichick that you could make it. Kyle Shanahan, I think he's going to get a job this year. I think Sean McDermott could get a job this year. I think Terrell Austin could get jobs this year. I don't see any of these guys going to L.A.
One thing, I think Bevell has the Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo. You know what I'm saying? Working with those guys, you've seen in development right there. He's the guy that can look like he can develop a young quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So none of you guys have Greg Williams as the guy.
They didn't give him the interim job. They went to John Fossil.
Manhunter.
Nobody wants to really fool with Greg Williams.
What if they get Sean Payton out of New Orleans?
That would be something.
That can be done, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question that a guy that has a job now, like I mentioned Belichick, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, like the Rams try to go and do this.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's definitely something that could happen. Go out and get somebody that has a job. Not Belichick necessarily, because I don't think Belichick's going anywhere. But somebody else that may not be happy, I could see that. We saw it last year with... in the NBA with the Kings, Tony, right? Dave Yeager was employed by the Grizzlies.
Yeah, in the whole Carroll thing, right? USC, Seattle just upped him again. I wonder if he would get out of there. And Belichick, too, where he's won so much in New England, what would be better than trying to take another franchise and make it work?
Staying with Tom Brady, probably.
That helps.
It makes it easier, but can you imagine? Look at the election.
I got a good one.
Did, right?
I got a
good
one. You know what could be better for Belichick? Finishing with Brady, watching him retire, and then taking some other quarterback and making him great and showing he could even do it without Brady.
I got it. I got the next coach of the Rams, Rex Ryan. There you go.
What about his brother?
That's interesting.
The Ryan combo. Put them together.
What has Rob Ryan ever done to be earned our head coaching job?
He's going to, who's going to run? He's going to have to hire somebody to run that offense.
I'm just kidding. It's not going to be Rex Ryan.
But why not, though? That's a splash.
That's a splash. But they, Tony, you know,
a media splash.
You know
what's
interesting?
Going to do on the field?
So I disagreed a moment ago with you about Gruden, but this is a job I don't like Gruden. I think as a head coach, I wouldn't want him to coach my team, but I could see LA going out to reach after a John Gruden, after a Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher is interesting to me because but it's been so long.
Yeah, same with Gruden though; it's been a long time.
I just wonder if those guys want. Yeah, but at least it seems like Gruden does things where he works with football players.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what Bill Cowher has been doing at all.
Besides every Sunday, right?
Yeah, besides every Sunday, and he attends his daughter's sports. He has daughters that are that do very well in sports, and he goes to their games. I have no idea if he does anything with football.
Right. So I guess
maybe Joe Madden.
Joe Madden.
You know what?
Joe Madden's gonna leave the Cubs.
But honestly speaking, though, why not, though? Why not?
You know what I'm saying? Football.
The president is Donald Trump. You feel what I'm saying? Why not just be like, you know what? Phil Jackson.
You want
the Rams job?
Forget that.
Gruden would actually.
Forget that. Let's just hold an American Idol style contest for the next coach of the Los Angeles Rams. Everybody can participate. The best, you know what? Let's have a fantasy football. Let's have a DFS thing. But best team to put together. We'll make it the coach.
That's a head coach.
I can see that. The American Idol thing. You get fantasy guys. Next coach of the Rams, Mike Clay.
Oh boy! But what I'm saying
is,
imagine
the halftime speeches.
Oh god!
It'd be like Belichick again.
Honestly speaking, though, but why not though? Does the coach have to be an X as an O guy, or can he be like a commander,
a motivator, a leader,
a general, and have X and O guys around him?
All you gotta do is just hire the best guys around you, like guys that, like, I don't know, maybe you're best friends with your biggest rival, let's say, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, bring Michael Irvin out of the booth and let him coach.
Well, you just hire a guy that doesn't really know what he's doing. You put some. He says he's gonna, I don't know, get rid of all the pieces that have been there for too long.
Yeah,
that
drain the swamp.
let's say drain the swamp.
What about if you just throw in the head coach for the Los Angeles Rams, get an actor, right? Guys
right.
that played for
Hollywood.
Al Pacino. Yeah,
right. That's
Al Pacino. Yeah,
Denzel Washington.
Yeah,
another good one.
Wonder about when
Coach Boone
on the sideline. They don't actually.
Gene Hackman. Isn't Gene Hackman in there?
Look at that.
Oh, Gene Hackman. He's motivational. He would get it done.
Matthew McConaughey. But,
what about head coaches that don't wear headsets? Do you ever wonder what they're doing during the game?
Who doesn't wear headsets? What coaches don't wear headsets?
Pete Carroll hardly wears his headset.
That's not true.
Yeah, he does.
He wears a headset. Absolutely. Cool.
Carroll takes it off a lot.
Well, Carroll just gets angry and like cheers those guys on. He throws his headset off and puts it around his neck.
Yeah, but he doesn't realize it's been like 10 minutes since he's had one.
That's possible.
Yeah.
That's possible. That's possible. Let's take a break. Let's take a break, guys.
Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be a nice president. I mean,
he's available.
Yeah, he'll be looking for work. You know what I'm saying?
No, he's the commissioner.
Can you imagine post-game interviews?
We made him commissioner in the NFL already.
Oh, he's already commissioner. He's taking Roger Goodell.
Maybe Roger Goodell can be the coach.
No.
No? It doesn't work for you?
How about Nando DeFino?
Why do we name-drop our own employees? You won't put him on the Hall of Fame hour, but now you want him to just name-drop him to be the coach of the Rams.
No, he would. It's like, you know, he'd give all the guys jobs. Guys like, you know, all the players who are on the cusp or off the street would get jobs.
And then they would lose again.
Yeah.
Take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to name somebody that's not going to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. We'll do it in a second here on the Roto Experts. One person that will not be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Rams is Lane Kiffin, the former offensive coordinator of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Because Lane Kiffin started out as a 30-year-old head coach of the Oakland Raiders. That didn't go great, but you know, he's only 30 years old, no big deal. So he goes to college, goes to Tennessee for a year, then becomes head coach of USC. That didn't really go so great either for poor Lane. But he resurrected his career as the offensive coordinator Alabama 3 years. Really, really did a nice job there. And now he's the head coach at Florida Atlantic University. Do you look at this as, Corey, I'll start with you. Do you look at this as, for Lane Kiffin, his career just kind of being over at 41 years old? Or do you look at this as, hey, he's only 41. He's got to rebuild himself from the ground up. He's got offensive coordinator at a big-time school on his resume. Now he goes to FAU, no expectations whatsoever. And if he can pull them out of the gutter, he's going to get a real opportunity back in the NFL or at a major college program. Where are you on Lane? Still very, very young, Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin has some work to do, you know. So I think that his current situation, taking over in FAU, not ideal, but it is D1. It is Conference USA. So he's not going to be in that national championship mix. But he has the state of Florida to recruit from. And when you can recruit from the state of Florida and you can have the kind of personality that Lane Kiffin has and can put together the kind of staff that he can put together because he has some good people around him. If you can get some of that big-time talent coming out of Dade and Broward County to show up at FAU, then he could be a successful recruiter, which could lead him to be a successful head coach, which can put him back in big-time college football. So I don't think it's that bad of a move.
Tony?
It's a terrible move. You get to a point in your career where you can't go backwards. Like, this would be like me taking the roto ball as weekend job on SiriusXM. I would never do that. And basically, you talked about it. This is a guy that should. I think he was going to get forced out at Alabama. They brought in Steve Sarkisian, who was waiting in the wings there. So they knew something was going on, and his contract was up this year. There's no way he should have took that job. He should have been better off just sitting out a year, because the problem is now if he takes this job and something comes up after 1 year, he's going to look like a jerk again, and this is why people don't leave him, by leaving a school in 1 year. So he's put himself in a situation where he can only look bad.
Now, why is he being forced out of Alabama? I mean, they're number one every year. Why is he being forced out of Alabama?
He's had if you look at Nick Saban, I think he's had 5 different offensive coordinators through his run at Alabama.
He just likes to change? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And they all get other jobs because they worked with Nick Saban, they were successful, and they all get other jobs.
Right. Now, his former offensive coordinator, perhaps the least successful one, got the Houston Cougar job, head coaching job, over Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Applewhite is, of course, a kid that was there at the University of Texas. So he got the job because all the Texas high school coaches liked him.
Right.
And they thought he would be able to recruit and get people in it. Lane Kiffin, people don't like him. I mean,
yeah.
If he left Tennessee after 1 year, really, really pissed him off. He got fired in an airport in USC. This is a guy with a track record that's not great. And now I think this job is going to be the end of it for him.
You think his career is going to be over?
I don't think he gets a big job.
All right. Scott, do you have any thoughts on this?
No, I think the guy's covered it pretty well.
Okay. All right.
You like Florida Atlantic when you were down in...
I like Florida Atlantic. I've been around there a bunch.
Florida Atlantic, when I was down in Fort Lauderdale, their home park was Lockhart Stadium, which was like right around the corner from CBS Sportsline when I worked there. They shared the facility with the Orioles, who had spring training at the time, so I could always go around the corner to see spring training, watch workouts and lunch, go to games and lunch, and went to Lockhart Stadium once actually to see a Dolphins preseason scrimmage in Dan Marino's final NFL season.
Now, one of the teams that does play Florida Atlantic is Florida International. That's where Isaiah Thomas went to coach, and that was the end of his basketball career as a coach.
I had a homeboy that, if I'm not mistaken.
Didn't Alfred Morris go to FAU?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or Central Florida. Is that where you went, Alfred Morris?
I think so.
Alfred Morris, the Dallas Cowboys, Alfred Morris. He went, there's a lot of Alfred Morrises on Wikipedia. Who knew? Alfred Morris went to Florida Atlantic University. That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice job there.
I think one of my homeboys coached there. Coached basketball there, was the assistant coach on the basketball
team. So he went from coaching there to being an assistant coach on the basketball team.
No, well, not that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I wasn't clear the first time.
What did I not? I got to figure out. I think this was where he was at. I think he's in Kansas now. I gotta look him up.
You know, we also went to FAU. Another Cowboy here, Corey.
Who's that?
Lucky Whitehead.
How about Lucky Whitehead?
How about Lucky Whitehead?
What's the situation with him this weekend?
Well, why don't you enlighten us?
Apparently, well, it's been two different stories. Apparently, he had a Snapchat thing.
So, really?
Yeah, they said.
I didn't know that.
He was on. They said it was a Snapchat snap of him and some women.
You're right. Women, plural.
And women, inappropriate snap at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Were they in his hotel room, though?
I'm not sure where they were at. I didn't. It was no further information on the snap, just that it was inappropriate. But then I think they ended up saying he ended up missing some meetings or something like that. Was the official excuse?
Right. That's what I saw. The meetings. Yeah.
But it was it was an inappropriate snap that was out there too.
Snapchat got him.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, Lucky Whitehead deleted his Instagram.
Deleted the account. The old delete the account.
Yeah, deleted his Instagram account. So he may have some social media things that he needs training on.
Yeah. Scott, you're
now, his owner was the same guy that like had some inappropriate pictures with some strippers, right?
Yes, that's correct. But Jerry's friends with everyone.
But the player can't have a couple, I guess. I got to find these pictures. They has to be really bad for the Cowboys to take this kind of route with this kid.
Yeah. Yeah, my buddy Book played for Florida Atlantic. He coaches for Arizona.
That's okay. I mean, no big deal. Hey, let's take a break here. When we come back, well, let's talk about some more stuff going into Week 15, the semifinals, some of the headlines, including Julio Jones, Dante Moncrief, Moncrief, and a little update on Ryan Tannehill. We'll do it next. You're the Roto Experts. So late last night, I missed this, Tony. Maybe you saw this. Charles Robinson of Yahoo published an article on Yahoo about who the dream head coach is for the Los Angeles Rams. Multiple sources with sight into the earliest stages of the Rams coach's search said there's a monster name that intrigues the power brokers inside the franchise. Seattle Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete's a guy. He's left people in the dust before, so, you know, it could happen again.
Scott, your thoughts?
It'd be hard to see him leave in Seattle right now. I can understand why it'd be a dream for somebody, you know, following the Rams. But, look, you never say never, but I'd be shocked to see it happen.
All right. That's interesting.
I mean, he was at USC, right? And he was enjoying himself. He was the king of L.A. His family might have liked it. Now he gets a chance to go back. And, you know what? Maybe his wife doesn't like the crappy weather in Seattle.
I don't know. I feel like if, you know, if, like, he's got unfinished business there after what happened in the Super Bowl with the Patriots.
He also won a Super Bowl, so it doesn't really
No, but I feel like, you know, that still gnaws at him. I feel like he wants to try to win one more time with them before he would leave. That's the feeling I get.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if that ever comes to fruition. I don't know if it's possible. He's signed for another 3 years or so.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if it's realistic.
It's just like, I know what Tony said, but I, you know, about USC, but, you know, I feel like he's at the pinnacle of his profession right now in a comfortable spot. It'd be a shock to me.
Okay, that's fair. Let's get into back to some news for this week and help the fantasy players do something here, eh? Let's get to Julio Jones.
Ugh.
We talked about this last week, and we were really in on it when I felt like people were kind of missing the boat a little bit. They were missing the fact that Julio Jones was very much going to be limited, if not play at all, and he didn't play at all. Now, head coach Dan Quinn says, he could practice this week. He'll come back in a limited fashion. Am I the only one that, knowing that he's limited, knowing what the injury is, knowing that how it affects him, I don't want Julio Jones to play if I own Julio.
You know what?
I don't want that to happen.
I was thinking about this over the weekend. They did as far as fantasy owners are concerned, they did the right thing.
Yes.
They didn't send him out there as a decoy.
Nope.
They made him inactive, and you didn't have to worry about putting him in your lineup.
Yep.
And that was the right call. And more teams.
Nice job, Dan Quinn.
Nice job. And more teams do the same thing.
He's a crap.
When you got a guy out there that is not ready to go, not 100% healthy, don't force him out there to be a decoy. Sit his ass on the bench. Thumbs up to the Atlanta Falcons organization on that one.
Do you want him to play? Do you think he's going to play? Do you think he should play? What would you do, Tony? No problem about Julio Jones this week.
I wouldn't play him, and I wouldn't be shocked if he don't play again. I think it was a great move by them. They didn't need him last week. They kept him off the field. They're playing the San Francisco 49ers. They should give him another week's rest. This is a team that has playoff aspirations. Keep the guy healthy. Keep him off the field.
Scotty.
Yeah, I would agree with these guys. I think they did the right thing. And if he's able to come back, which I don't know, we can check with Dr. A tomorrow. If he's able to come back this week and help people get into their Super Bowls, you know, we're going to look back on this and say, hey, it was the right thing. You know, hopefully you had a guy in there that replaced him effectively.
I think that I wish Julio Jones, like I said, doesn't play because you have your replacement, right? You have your replacement for him. He's not Julio Jones. I get that. He's not as great. But if he returns this week and he's active and you put him in the lineup, he very well could be a decoy again. And who does Atlanta play this week? San Francisco. You told him last. You said last week, Tony, you thought they benched him because of the matchup. There's no reason not to do it again. Let him get healthy.
That's what I'm saying. 2 weeks. Give him 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
You got turf toe. It's this thing that just keeps lingering. Don't put him out there. Yeah, don't put him out there. Just give him another week off. They can run the ball 40 times in this game if they want.
Giving him 3 weeks now to get healthy with turf toe, I think that's reasonable. So then if he comes back next week, I think he'd be good to go, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, he's been dealing with this for a lot of weeks, limping his way through it, sitting out a couple plays. He'd have all these weeks, and he should be able to get a majority of the snaps.
Yeah, it's a nice job. It's a nice job by Dan Quinn. As you said, Corey, and it makes our lives a lot easier as fantasy owners.
Yes, and as fantasy analysts also.
And as fantasy analysts as well. The speaking of wide receivers that are hurt, Dante Moncrief, he hurt himself late, re-injured that hamstring that's been bothering him a little bit in the fourth quarter here last week against Houston. And it's Monday, or on Monday, the Colts already signed a wide receiver off their practice squad in Devin Street. Now, we don't know of any other wide receivers that were hurt in this Colts game, which makes me think Dante Moncrief's injury has to be relatively serious as well, Scott.
Yeah, it's kind of early in the week for these things.
But they signed a guy off the practice squad immediately.
Yeah, but I was about to say that. It's, you know, it's kind of early in the week, these things, but when you see somebody signed off the practice squad, you know, that's always an alert to you. I remember last week, nobody was really talking about Theo Riddick. Dr. A mentioned something from inside injuries, and I kind of took alert. And then, you know, they went out and signed Joik Bell. And I said to myself, I don't know if Theo Riddick's going to play this week. So, you know, kind of good reading of what's to come there.
Yeah, I think the other side of that is Devin Street may have gotten an offer somewhere to be on someone's active roster, someone like Chicago, if they really lost Marquise Wilson. I mean, they could have went and saw Devin Street, and the Colts had no choice but to activate him. But it just doesn't bode well for Moncrief, who I don't think he could play this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough call. Situation, definitely a situation to watch.
So Scotty just mentioned Theo Riddick and how he was out this past week. And he was out with his wrist injury that kind of came out of nowhere. Kept him out and missed the whole game. And Zach Zenner, another running back in Detroit, not a very good one, but he's another running back in Detroit. He's in the concussion protocol, which leaves Joik Bell, as you mentioned, Scott, and Dwayne Washington. We've talked a lot this morning about Kenneth Farrow. Corey, should we be talking a little bit more about Dwayne Washington?
I had the best game of his career this past week, but I'm like, at this point of your season, I would expect that you probably have a better option if you're down to your final four. But if you have to make an emergency play, I have a hard time trusting this guy.
Yeah, I don't trust him either. But if there's no Theo Riddick, no Zach Zenner, Tony, can we start Dwayne Washington in our fantasy playoffs against the Giants?
I wouldn't, and I couldn't, and I don't like him. The matchups the rest of the way, I think Detroit has some tough matchups, except for maybe the Green Bay game, but they're even decent against the run. So, I think that you've got to look elsewhere.
Yeah, but I agree with the guys. I think you have to look elsewhere. I'm not comfortable with it.
You know, I just see this as if he's the only guy there, if he's the only guy standing, why not? Matthew Stafford's banged up.
Because
they're going to have to run the ball.
Sucks. That's why
he
not.
He just told me he had the best game of his career.
He just had the best game of his career.
That doesn't mean
when
it's getting better.
When you compare it to the other games, what's that saying, though?
All what I'm saying is this is the first time with no Theo Riddick and no Zach Zenner that he was healthy and he performed.
Well, he performed. What were the numbers? Like, what was it, 16 carries for like 60 yards or something like that?
And he had a reception.
Yeah, it's like you're going to get mediocrity. It's not the type of guy you want to play in your fantasy playoffs. There's no upside to it. You know, the guy doesn't make anybody miss. You know, he's starting to get down to the fundamentals. Yeah, he's catching passes.
Yep.
You know, he's not making mistakes, but he's really hasn't shown anything to where I want to use this guy where I'm comfortable with using him. He's shown absolutely no promise, absolutely no upside. It's like, unless I'm desperate, I don't want him in my lineup.
Would you rather start Dwayne Washington or Ryan Matthews this week? Ryan Matthews faces Baltimore. And you said, Corey, standard or half point PPR, 12-team league, Ryan Matthews could be a flex. You said that.
Yeah. I would start Ryan Matthews over Dwayne.
I'm still
going to
go Ryan Matthews.
Even though Baltimore.
Even, I don't like it.
Even though it's Baltimore.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold your nose.
Hold your nose and just do it. All right.
There's one of those decisions you don't want to make.
Okay. Are there any, outside of Kenneth Farrow, outside of Bilal Powell, I guess you guys don't like Dwayne Washington, are there any other running backs that you guys want to pick up that you can put in your lineups? I don't care about stashing a guy for next week. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, some leagues, Kenneth Dixon will be available.
Okay. Kenneth Dixon, certainly, if he's available. Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
If he's available, he needs to be picked up.
Is he running back a wide receiver for your league?
He's got Mike McCarthy says yes, sir. Ty Montgomery hasn't been in a wide receiver meeting in 2 months.
That doesn't mean... No.
I know. I think he's been changed over to running back in most places.
All right, let's throw this out here for this week against Corey, because he still may be available in a few leagues.
Against me?
No, throw it out, you know, for you.
Oh, okay.
The Colts run defense, awful. Matt Asiata? Good shot to score more than one touchdown this week.
Jerick McKinnon was the guy I was looking at, right?
Don't do Jerick McKinnon.
But I can't.
There's nothing good comes out of Jerick McKinnon.
I can't.
Tony saw Jerick McKinnon live and it wasn't good.
Nothing good comes out of him.
I agree.
No, he's fast and he runs into people. James White is intriguing to me. I was surprised at how much he got involved in that passing game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do against Denver. Denver, of course, number one in the league against the pass. If they throw the ball in a controlled environment and throw the ball out of the backfield, he could be a guy that comes up big. Or if they just run it straight ahead with LeGarrette Blount, which some teams have had success against the Denver Broncos.
100% true.
Alfred Blue?
No.
Nah.
TJ Yeldon?
He's got volume.
Tony, you watched TJ Yeldon live on Sunday.
He's the only back left. Their offensive line is terrible. I would go with him over Washington, but that's about it.
Yeah, I would definitely use him over Washington. Maybe even over Matthews in a PPR.
In PPR leagues, other guys I have listed are Charles Sims, who's back in his role in Tampa, Paul Perkins, who received the same amount of carries and the same amount of yards as Rashad Jennings.
I could not do it.
So you're not starting Rashad Jennings either then, right?
I wouldn't want to.
Well, Rashad Jennings got the goal line carry,
right?
Yeah,
that's the one thing with Jennings I feel like the advantage over Perkins.
Yes.
Well, I know Perkins got a lot more.
They each had
runs.
15 carries. Yeah. I think they each had 45 yards, I think.
Yeah.
All of these guys are desperation plays.
Desperation. Yeah. I can't say with Kenjon Barner, who'll be the PPR back without Darren Sproles. Feeling. Just saying.
Desperation.
All desperation. We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk about what you don't do when you are in a contract year. I explain on the other side of this. So there's a... Yes, Scott.
It was just a cool promo. Doc Gooden saying you're listening to Scott Engel on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
No.
We just played and...
Wait a minute. Did you get that from him?
What's that?
Did you get that from Doc?
No. No. Our TV producer, This Week in Fantasy,
Mike DeMers, the show's called Next Week in Fantasy.
Next Week in Fantasy got that for us.
So that means a lot to you because it's your childhood. So it's an idol for you?
I love Doc Gooden growing up. It's, you know, when I was a kid, you know, like my childhood dream was like pitch for the Mets. And Gooden was probably my favorite player that I ever watched when he was in his prime. He was absolutely amazing. I've had the opportunity to view him. He's the nicest guy. So that's pretty cool.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Yeah.
Are you surprised Doc Gooden's still alive?
I'm glad he is.
I'm glad he is. What kind of an answer is that?
Yeah. It's like an emotion. It's almost like I don't know how to answer that question. It's like it's like you know, he's really a nice guy. It seems like he doesn't hurt anybody but himself. I just hope at some point, you know, he can.
Has he ever pulled over like drunk driving or anything?
What's that?
Has he ever pulled over like?
Yeah.
So that he had to turn.
I hope he can get to the point that Strawberry is at some point.
Yeah, Strawberry seems okay.
Yes, Daryl's doing good. You know, he's you know, he I think he runs like a ministry with his wife and stuff that's like nice. That. You know,
he's driving intoxicated. That's hurting other people.
When we were still,
he punched his girlfriend. That's hurting other people.
It is. It is. But I always felt like in people who have been around Doc, and I've talked to people that are very close to him. It's just like most of the time when he doesn't have those demons going on, it's just like he's like the greatest guy you want to be around.
When we were still at Sirius XM and he came,
yeah,
we did the interview with him. You and Adam did the interview with him.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw him that day, I was like, man, this guy's still using. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He looks like he looks bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I hate to say that he's struggling with it. You know what I mean? And those kind of substance abuse things are always difficult to deal with. And you know, to answer Greg's question, I think you have to be, you know,
not trying to be rude.
No.
You're asking a serious question.
Totally serious.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's in a way though. I've seen some of these people have this kind of habit though. They manage to hold on forever.
You know who I saw a picture of, a recent picture of last week, who I've seen look terrible at times, but they looked like they were doing much better, and a picture I saw that was taken by like somebody close up to him? Allen Iverson.
He's doing better now?
He looks like he's doing much better now.
That's good.
At least for right now, you know what I'm saying? Because at times, Allen Iverson has looked pitiful.
So this whole conversation really leads me, actually, to the point I was trying to make before the break, which is what you don't do during the contract year, and that's get a DUI. Because that's stupid. Right. And that's what Michael Floyd did on Sunday night.
Man, did you read that story?
I did.
Michael Floyd, he was hammered.
Yes.
He had passed out, foot on the brake, you know what I'm saying? Woke up and was like, looking around like, where am I? I mean, he was really saucy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He went in a little too hard.
Michael Floyd, I get it. You go drinking after a Sunday game, like, your body's beat up, you want to go get drunk. I get it. Problem is, you don't go drive after that. That's a mistake there.
I think he's been drunk on the field.
He's got his day in court. Maybe he wasn't guilty.
Is it going to cost him anything? We'll talk about that coming up next.